On any given day, you might find B.A. Grace's students building roller coasters out of ping pong balls and Kapla blocks, working on creating chain reactions that go across multiple tables, or even testing cardboard boats that they made themselves with real-world consequences in a swimming pool. Let's get to know B.A. Grace, also known as B.A. Teaches STEM Education. You're in for a real treat today. Wonder, curiosity, connection. Where will your adventures take you? I'm Dr. Diane, and thank you for joining me on today's episode of Adventures in Learning. Welcome to the Adventures in Learning podcast. For those of you who don't know, I have been following at BA Teaches STEM Education for a while, and you are in for a treat today. There is so much wonderful hands-on goodness that goes on, and we are fortunate enough to be able to talk to BA Grace. So welcome to the show, BA.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for that nice introduction.
So I love the work that you do, and I was wondering if you could start just by sharing a little bit about your own adventures in learning in terms of how you got to where you are right now.
Yeah, so it's kind of it's been a long journey with lots of twists and turns. I originally grew up in Portland, Oregon. From there, I went to the University of Oregon. And after that, I went to the Peace Corps. I joined the Peace Corps, and I lived in West Africa for a couple years there. And so when I did that, one of the things I was doing was, I was doing education in terms of natural resource management. So that was kind of how I got my foot in the door in education. From there, after Peace Corps, I went to grad school in Florida. Got a master's degree in environmental education. From there, I worked in Georgia. I worked on the eastern shore of Maryland, working for the Audubon, doing what's considered like non-formal education. So weekend camps, or I was a summer camp director as well. And after spending time with the students, I really wanted to get into the classroom to see students on a daily basis. So I went back to school again, got another degree in curriculum and instruction from University of Maryland. Moved around a bit and ended up in DC for a while. And now I'm back in Maryland, teaching a pre-K 3 through 5th makerspace class, which is science and engineering skills. And I also teach 8th grade physics as well.
Excellent. And as I'm looking at the work that you do, you are so good at being able to connect that hands-on wow experience in the classroom. Can you give our listeners sort of an example of what a day in the life looks like at your school?
Sure. It really depends on who I'm seeing that day, whether it's a pre-K 3 or 5th grade. But whatever the activity is, I try to do things that engage the students, really get their interest in it, get them involved. I want them to forget that they're even in class and that they're actually working on standards and learning. A typical class is something where the students come in and I pose some sort of challenge to them, whether it's something that's progressing from the last time I saw them or starting something new. And then from there, I kind of give them some ideas on ways it could go. We talk about the constraints and the criteria, kind of what the goals are, what's limiting us. Then from there, the students just kind of use their creativity to take it to wherever they can take it to best match the criteria. It's not necessarily here's a set project, let's all do the same thing. It's, hey, how can you move these ping pong balls across the room without them touching the ground? Like, what can you do with that? That type of thing. So student interest, student choice, and student creativity are all really big things to me. Because, if I was a student, I would want to be able to decide what I'm going to make. And like I said, they come up with things that I would never have imagined. So, there's a lot of creativity going on in here. It can be pretty loud sometimes. We've got the tools going. We got chaos because, lots of times students are doing their own kind of project, working on their own thing. So it's fun in here. We like to have fun in the makerspace.
I imagine you're probably the most popular teacher in the building.
Yeah. I try to work hard to develop good relationships with the students. And I've definitely got my fans, and I'm definitely fans of them.
One of the projects I loved when I noticed it last spring was when you guys built those boats and tested them. Can you describe that project?
Yeah, the cardboard boats.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a fun project that we've been working on for the last couple of years. It's really setting the criteria as being able to make it across the pool, stay afloat, and be able to move your boat as well. So it's kind of an eighth grade capstone project that we work on prototypes. We have a creek near campus here that we test our prototypes using scale models for weight, and and then we bump those up depending on the test go to full size. And students create their own design. We talk about concepts such as buoyancy, displacement, drag, that type of thing, but also heavy into the engineering design process, where students are iteratively really testing their designs, figuring out what would work. They got to figure out everything. Where are the paddles going to be? How are we going to get in? How are we going to get out without capsizing? So that's one of the projects that almost all the kids look up to, because the eighth graders are doing it, but everyone else gets invited to come see it. So all the younger grades are kind of excited when they get to that point. So very fun. It's one of those activities where students don't have to necessarily wait for a grade. They get immediate feedback when they get in the water. Either they're sinking or they're floating. So
it's a real world consequence.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I try to instill in them that, there's resources online you can find to look for designs and, maybe copy someone's designs or make improvements. But I don't have the ultimate answer, so it's up to you to kind of figure it out. And another thing that's important with that project as well is students are working in groups. So, communication, problem solving, those are all things that are, don't quite show up on report cards or, progress reports. But that's something that I feel the students are really going to take with them in their academic and professional career. So, if they don't get a tight hold of the physics concepts they're learning with me, hopefully they'll get the practice skills that are going to come in handy no matter what they do.
Well, and that's a huge part of what we're looking for in 21st century learners as well. We want them to be able to communicate and collaborate and think critically. And it sounds like by giving them these opportunities, you're giving them the chance to build those skills.
Yeah, that's the goal.
So what does it mean to you to build connections in the classroom? Are you collaborating with other teachers on the curriculum as well as what you're presenting? How do you set sort of your projects up?
Yeah, I try to link what we're doing in the classroom here with what they're doing in their homeroom, especially with some of the younger students. If they're studying biomes of Antarctica or Europe or something like that, then we go here on campus and we look at the biome here, kind of talk about some of the similarities, some of the differences. So again, just kind of making that connection between what they're doing in their other classes with what they're doing with me. So that it kind of just, it's a supplement to their class and it's not necessarily just a standalone thing I do. So connection's important and it's fun at my school. I see, like I said, I teach pre-K 3 through eighth grade. So I see students, when they're in pre-K 3, 4, so I get to see them grow. And I get to see their kind of ideas expand as they get older too.
That's got to be really exciting. Is there an example of a child that you've watched sort of flourish from preschool on up?
Yeah, there's definitely some examples. I haven't been in my current position to see a kindergartner graduate yet, but I have seen students grow. One of the big things for me is in the variety of activities I do, it's really fun to see students kind of who maybe when we're doing the engineering design process or working on some science skills, they're kind of meek or just kind of following along. And then we hop into something like robotics or coding and they're kind of taking the lead and really, helping out other students and showing them what to do. And, it's really cool to see that, to see students try a variety of topics. And then, when they don't succeed in one, really take off in another. So that's something that I've definitely seen. And that's something I really think is cool. Well, so I use that as just motivation to keep moving.
Well, and I think that makes sense. I mean, you were talking about your adventure in learning and how you've journeyed sort of in a spiral to get to where you are now between the Peace Corps and all the different things you've studied. My own journey is very similar in that it wasn't a direct line. And so I think when we can show kids that try everything and you never know what it is that's going to ignite your passion.
Yeah,
that's a huge part of it. So. Exactly. As you're working in the classroom, are there particular children's literature books that you use to fuel your lessons? Do you have a favorite book that sort of sparks a challenge?
We have, you know, one of the things I have is, you know, how to make like 1,000 different paper airplanes. I have books along that that have ideas, you know, like, you know, fun science or candy science, those types of things. So I have a wide selection of just books full of ideas. And that's kind of what we use to kind of move forward from there. It's saying, here's an idea. Okay, well, what can we do with it? Either it's, you know, if it's something that's inspiring me for a new project, or it's something the students see and kind of grow from there. So there's not a specific book that we come back to, but it's more just a wide range that we sample from.
Right. As you were talking about the paper airplanes, one of the things I love to do with those is link them to David Wiesner's The Three Pigs.
Okay. And
in that book, there is a paper, the pigs basically fold the page of the book to get away from the wolf, and okay, they make their own paper airplane to escape.
Okay.
And so I like to build that connection to children's literature, to picture books, and sort of use the stories in the picture books to get kids excited.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll look that up. Excellent.
Let's pause for a quick break, and when we return, we'll continue this fascinating adventure in learning. Hey, early childhood and elementary school educators. Are you looking for a keynote speaker or professional development workshop that will knock the socks off your teachers? Look no further. Check out the offerings at drdianeadventures.com. We offer half and full day professional development workshops that will help you learn how to build connections between multicultural picture books, authentic STEAM experiences, and your curriculum. You'll explore strategies to get your students fully engaged and wanting to learn more, and you'll walk away with a new perspective on multicultural picture books, as well as strategies and ideas guaranteed to awaken your sense of wonder and to help you immediately build science and STEAM connections in your early childhood, elementary, or library setting. Learn how to connect science and math to literacy, oral communication, gross motor skills, and dramatic and artistic play. Every activity and strategy can be completed using materials you already have in your classroom, school, or home education setting. Check out the offerings at drdianeadventures.com. Welcome back to the Adventures in Learning podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Diane, and today we have B.A. Grace with us. You know him as @B.A. Teaches STEAM Education. And while we were on break, I was thinking about The Three Pigs and some of the connections you could make. You know, we talked about David Wiesner and the paper airplanes. There are a couple other books I wanted to share with you as well. One is David Gordon's The Three Little Rigs. And I love this one because instead of pigs, you've got trucks and there's a giant wrecking ball. And it's such a great book for looking at in terms of simple machines. So a really good connection there. Another favorite is Penny, The Engineering Tale of the Fourth Little Pig. And that's written by Kimberly Durding and Shelley R. Johannes. You may know them from the CC Love Science series. And it's illustrated by Hannah Marks. And this one's great because it takes you through the engineering and design process. So if you want to build a better house, this is a great book to go to. And then the other one I really like, as you're thinking about houses and the pigs, is The Three Little Pigs, An Architectural Tale. And that's by Stephen Guarnaccia. And this one is absolutely beautiful because it actually envisions what it would be like if Frank Gehry, Philip Johnson, or Frank Lloyd Wright were building the houses of the three pigs. And there's some really cool Easter eggs in there from different architects and inventors as well. So those are some books to think about as we're talking about making connections. All right, let's turn back to our adventures in learning. What have you discovered and experienced from your learning adventures that you feel other people should know?
You know, I've been in a number of different settings, from, you know, public schools to public charter schools to kind of independent school systems. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that people think students need. But one thing that I've realized is that if students are not invested in it, then it's not going to have great results. If they feel like they just kind of have to force their way through a project or an assignment, or even a course, then it's not going to be super successful. So one of the things I try to do is engage students right away. For me, I'm a very, you know, not sit down for a long time type of person. I'm always moving. So I try to kind of incorporate lots of different activities into a lesson. So it's not just kind of, there's absolutely no just sitting and listening to me talk for 45 minutes. We don't do that. So, you know, one of the biggest things to me is just, you know, listen to the students, be flexible, cater to their needs, cater to where they're at, whatever age range they are. And just kind of, not everything's going to go as planned, but, you know, as long as everyone learns some stuff and has a good time and no one cuts off a finger or something like that, you know, then it's a good day.
Exactly. So what's the best advice a mentor ever gave you about being a teacher?
The best advice, I'd say probably just stay curious myself. Don't become complacent. You know, it's really easy to kind of go to the same curriculum each year. You know, and I definitely do that in some instances where I'm tweaking a project or I'm trying to make it better or incorporate things I've learned from it. But really being flexible and trying to meet the students, kind of where they're at, you know, like 5 years ago, I wasn't really doing robotics that much. And now it's kind of a heavy part of the course. So, you know, just being adaptable, being able to change. And then just for myself, you know, just to keep learning, stay up on the trends, figure out what's going on and just try to really translate what I've learned into a great experience for my students.
That makes a lot of sense. And on Instagram, you've got your site at BA Teaches STEM Education. Mm-hmm. So you've been posting videos and posting examples of what you do there.
Yeah.
How else are you communicating and sort of letting other teachers know what you're doing?
So I also do teacher trainings. When new teachers come in, we work on it. It's not really engineering skills. We're working on communication skills. So like I mentioned, you know, I like to wrap up problem solving, communication, creativity. I like to wrap those up inside of an engineering project. And so I do a number of those throughout the summer and also do them at the beginning of the school year. So I have one coming up tomorrow, actually. So, you know, I do teacher trainings, you know, I reach out to other students, other teachers. And I talk to the students as well to try to figure out, you know, what are you interested in? And so, you know, kind of keeping my ear to the street, figuring out what they like and talking to other educators, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work, just networking like that.
Great. And if people wanted to contact you, how would they reach out to ask for a training or to learn more about the lesson plans that you're putting out?
Yeah, through Instagram, that's a good site. You know, BA Teaches STEM Education, that's the best way to reach me. I'm usually paying attention to what's going on there. So that's a good spot.
Excellent. So do you have a favorite picture book?
Favorite picture book? I know I have young kids, so I'm kind of getting my favorite picture book and their favorite picture book kind of mixed up. But yeah, there's we have some that kind of show the process of manufacturing. In one particular, I'm thinking about of an airplane. It's just called How Airplanes Are Built. And just really getting to look at how different parts come together to form a whole. So I really enjoy that because I think there's a lot of, you know, I use that as a metaphor for the classroom. You know, each student is their own part and we come together to form a whole. You know, I use that, you know, like each step of the engineering design process comes together to make your whole design. So I try to play off that a little bit.
Excellent. So last couple of questions. Mm-hmm. What currently brings you joy?
So, I mean, besides, being with my kids, you know, I'm their teacher first and foremost. I like to get out. I like to, I stay active, bicycling, rock climbing, lots of swimming, much stay active, but I really do enjoy myself in the classroom. I do have fun with the students. Like I said, I try to create a space where it's enjoyable for them, but also enjoyable for me. And so, I do a lot of pre-planning to get everything ready. So, when class is taking place, I don't have to worry about some of the details. I'm focusing on the big picture and really helping the students engage, and having a good time. So, as you mentioned, some of my videos, you probably hear my laugh on most of them because I'm having a good time and the students are always keeping me on my toes. So,
all right. That's excellent. And so the very last question, if a teacher wanted to start wading into the STEM world and is afraid to do it, what would be the first steps you would tell them to take?
Well, if you're looking to get into the STEM world, I mean, there's a number of things you got to do. You got to look at like what are, you know, just like any engineering design project. That's how I look at it. What are the criteria? What are like, what are your goals? Like, or is it going to be standard based? Is it going to be something where there's no grades attached to it and it's all experiential? You know, so what do you really want to get out of it? And then go back to the constraints. Like, what is your time frame? What materials do you have available? What kind of budget do you have? Because there's lots of things you can do with mostly recycled materials or materials for really cheap that are really engaging and offer authentic problems for the students to solve. So the first step I would say is, you know, hone in on what your goals are, take a look at your population, what materials you have, and then kind of go from there.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, BA. It has been such a delight to talk to you. Your kids are so lucky to have you as a teacher. You are the teacher I think all of us wish we would have had. And if they're looking to find more from you, look up at BA Teaches STEM Education on Instagram.
Yep.
Thanks for coming today.
All right. Thank you very much.
Have a great school year.
All right. See ya.
Take care. You've been listening to the Adventures in Learning podcast with your host, Dr. Diane. If you love the Adventures in Learning podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review. We can't wait to see you for our next Adventure in Learning.